Let's make it happen, Captain.
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Microsoft Asset number 334307.
I'm Microsoft Asset 168163.
And welcome to Defrag. So, Gove, no show last week. We were very busy. Had a lot of things going on. We just finished up build. You had some stuff going on. I had things going on. And next week, which will be the day after we post this show, is going to be Thanksgiving. So there might not be a show next week, too. But we're collecting your emails, and we will get back to you as soon as we can. So keep sending your questions, and we'll get to those. Anything special that you're thankful for?
Family, friends, work, Windows 8, Windows Phone.
Excellent. You know? Good answers, all the above. I'm just going to say your stuff. I'm thankful for everything that you're thankful for. All right. So the other thing that I wanted to mention, too, is all the build sessions are up online. You can go watch those now. And, I think that's it. So, yesterday we did AzureConf live from the studio. We did 16 hours of broadcast in one day.
That's a new record for you, isn't it?
It is a new record. We've never done two streams at the same time. But for a lot of different reasons, we end up having to do that. So you could switch between the streams in real time. And all those are getting posted today.
You didn't cross the streams, did you?
Yeah, I made that joke yesterday. Yeah, no, we didn't cross the streams. All right. From first question from Antonio and Philip, they both wrote about this. It was the question we had about SBS 2011, where the email body was blank. And both of them mentioned that AVG was the issue.
Yeah, I believe I mentioned it on the show, is that it could be an antivirus that is either on the Exchange server. I don't know if I'd seen it where it's a problem on the client itself. Certainly, you know, that's a possibility. Any kind of plugin into Outlook or your email client could definitely be causing that.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, from my research on AVG, it's been said that it's been fixed for a really long time. So having that pop up now, again, is kind of odd.
Yeah.
Which is why it's like, well, the antivirus is just one potential possibility.
Yep.
It's probably the most likely possibility.
Yeah. Well, Philip mentioned he was shocked by the number of searches in Bing about how popular that error was. So hopefully, just being in the show notes, get a little Bing juice going on there, and people have this problem, just come here and we'll
Bing juice.
Let everyone's crowdsourcing the issue be able to find an answer there. From Dentaku, he says, I was wondering if it would disable... I was wondering if it would disable to registration of the previous OS you were updating from. I'm glad I didn't do it with my Windows 7 DVD because I'm still using it. He's talking about this upgrade. I think we talked about this. Once I get the upgrade disk, I'll first try using an XP disk I don't care about. I guess I could also use my Vista disk because it's not like I'm ever going to use it again. Zing. I actually went to Staples twice already, and they didn't have any. They also only had one touchscreen Windows 8 machine, but it was password protected, so I couldn't even try it the way it was meant to be used.
Okay, so a lot of things going on in that question.
Yeah.
First thing is, can you uninstall a key from a particular machine? And actually, you can. If you go to an elevated command prompt, and you type in SLMGR space /UPK, uninstall product key, that will actually remove the product key that you're using on that machine, which would, yes, technically allow you, if you bought a retail copy, this, of course, really only applies to retail copies, not OEM copies. It will allow you to use that key, that license, on another machine.
Yeah.
In terms of the upgrade disk, currently what's available right now on store shelves are upgrade disks only. There are certain other online places that you can buy something called the System Builder Disk.
Yeah.
That is the full version of Windows. Usually that requires a particular purchase with hardware. I don't know all the rules on that, but that's currently the only method of getting a full, complete, bare metal install of Windows. Otherwise, you have to have a previous version installed on a machine that you can use the upgrade copy with to carry forward.
Cool. Okay. Next from Igor, he says, Bing Desktop not working, Windows 8 issue. One, install Bing Desktop version for Windows 7 on Windows 7. Store the Bing Desktop install directory copy on Windows 8. Set compat mode. Run this program compatibility mode Windows 7. Have fun.
Absolutely, you can do it. The compat modes are something that I own. We consciously did not do that because the Bing team was not going to support it.
Yeah.
So we have to work under, you know, not just the technical issues, we have to do it based on supportability.
Yeah.
So you can do this. We, like, there's nothing that I'm going to do to stop you.
Yeah.
But whatever bugs may arise, we may not fix it because it's not designed to run on Windows 8.
Yeah. Okay. Good answer there. All right. We'll take that. From Mario, here's my problem. This morning, my desktop machine, Windows 8 64-bit, started behaving strangely. The CPU utilization was 100% and the hard drive light was lit up. I rebooted the machine and was greeted by a screen telling me that Windows was repairing disk errors and would take up to an hour. After about 30 minutes, the following screen appeared. I hit restore, but the machine hung at that point. I had to hard reboot, and now the system is in a bad state. I'm afraid my hard drive is close to dying, but I can't tell for sure. Is there a way to diagnose this? I'd also like to replace a dying hard drive with an SSD. How can I upgrade to a brand new SSD, keep my Windows 8 license and all my settings? I have a home server, and all my data is backed up.
Okay, again, a lot of things going on there. I would probably guess, just based on these symptoms alone, that the hard drive is beyond the point of, you know, dying to, it is about to die.
Yeah.
Any additional time spent with that drive online can corrupt data further. You can try, you know, you said you have everything backed up.
So why do you say online?
So online as in you're booting the machine with the drive running and you're trying to run like check disk.
All right. So I thought you meant, you might have meant like hooked up to the internet made a difference.
Oh, no, sorry. Okay. Online, you know, it powered up. Unless there is, you know, critical data on that drive that is not backed up anywhere, I would say cut your losses,
mm-hmm.
pull out the drive, install the SSD, install Windows clean on it,
mm-hmm.
And then restore back your settings. Otherwise, what I would do is, again, put in the SSD, install Windows clean on it, pull out the drive that's having an issue, hook it up externally, and then copy the data back, you know, whatever's critical. Otherwise, you know, when that's done, you can try a clean format of the drive and see if you get any additional life out of it. But really, I wouldn't bother with it. Like I say, any time where that drive is still in use has the potential for corrupting more data. So if there is critical data that's not backed up, you want to keep that time that is running to a minimum.
Yeah, I would say I would stack rank what's most important on that drive and start copying that off first.
Exactly.
Move quickly.
Yep.
Okay, excellent. And yeah, that was one we just got this morning from Mario, so that should help him out. From Niner, I believe that's Vasudev on Channel 9. Regarding Bing app on Windows 8 Pro, on right click, why only set as lock screen is enabled while copy link, copy, save as are all disabled? Are anyone else having this issue or is it a US only feature? Screenshot attached. Well, I looked, and the issue there was that you hadn't actually done a search for anything. So those were grayed out because there was nothing to copy a link to. If you actually do a search and you go through there, that
and select something.
Yeah, and that actually lights up. So that'll take care of that. Also, there's a second question from Niner. Says, also, once we upgrade, the Windows 7 key becomes nullified, meaning we never are allowed to install it, even on that same machine, if we format Windows 8 upgrade and want to install our Windows 7? Or is it that we're not allowed to install on another machine once we upgrade to Windows 8 Pro?
It's actually the latter. So if you, for whatever reason, decide that you don't want Windows 8 anymore, you can actually use the trick that I just suggested, which was uninstall the Windows 8 key,
mm-hmm.
reinstall Windows 7. You can use your Windows 7 key. You might have to go through a phone activation if the internet activation doesn't work.
Yeah.
But again, all you got to do is a really quick explanation, and it'll reactivate on that same machine.
Okay.
It also does make a difference if the Windows 7 key that you have was a retail versus OEM. If it was OEM, it'll just work again.
Okay. All right. Next one, and I'm going to destroy your name, Mashiv, I guess. That's how I like to think that it's pronounced. It sounds kind of nice. Number one, and he's got six questions here. Two questions. We have another one at six questions. Whatever happened to the box version of Windows 8, the version it did not require to have a previous version of Windows and allowed user to contact Microsoft support directly? According to the internet, the new OEM license you can buy allows you to uninstall Windows 8 from a PC it was installed on and install it on a different one, thus allowing what box versions allowed to do. Is that true?
I am not overly familiar with the various SKUs that are released right now. The box version that I know of is, like I said, the upgrade version. Mm-hmm. That's the one that is currently available. And the OEM version, of course, is the one that comes with your machine. And then there's a system builder one. Those right now are the only ones that I am currently aware of.
Yeah. Okay. And he actually, he does have 7 questions in this one email. We're going to bang through these as fast as we can. In Windows 7 and earlier, the keyboard layout could be adjusted per window. Say Outlook could have an English keyboard layout, Word could have the German one. This seems to have changed in Windows 8. Now it's a global setting. Is there any way to get the old behavior back? Also, will Microsoft Keyboard Layout Creator ever be updated to Windows 8?
Well, let's look at the first one first. I don't have additional languages installed on my machine, but here are the steps to do. You go to the control panel, lock language, or the clock, the language and region, and then the language profile, advanced settings. There's a switching input method selection, and the option is, let me set a different...
You need word wrap on.
I do. There we go. Set a different input method in each app window, and then you click Save.
Cool.
That will switch it to the Windows 7 IME switching capability, so it would you'll have a different keyboard per application. We actually found that through telemetry and through user research that the new default in Windows 8 is what the majority of people prefer. But, hey, you know, not everybody is the same, which is why we gave you the ability to go back.
Okay, excellent. And that sound you might be hearing is a HP 17 taxiing for takeoff. Usually, this is question 3, usually when there's a BSOD, blue screen of death, bug check, whatever, that points to a driver, we are told to update the driver or use the ones that came with Windows. What if the blue screen of death happens on all drivers for the device, the manufacturer's various versions and Microsoft's version, but the issue seems to be isolated to Windows 8 only? I had a case like that with a certain older Intel wireless card.
One, I'd like to see the memory dump for that one.
And more details on what card that is so we can actually look up the details on that.
But the other thing that you can do is go back to the manufacturer site and see if there are interim builds of drivers that might work.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the best thing that you can do is post this on the MSDN forums. The Kinect site or phone our customer support mm-hmm. in order to open a case, and then we can see what we can do about this. The only other thing that you can do in order to get past this error is switch out your wireless card.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of unfortunate. If you have certain features that are enabled in the wireless card, you know, maybe it only happens when you're connecting to a 5 gigahertz network and doesn't happen when you're connecting to 2.4.
Mm-hmm.
That is a potential thing to do. It might only happen if you're connecting to N instead of G. So there may be certain options in the driver that you can use in order to you know, troubleshoot what will and won't trigger a bug check.
Cool. And I love the Bing background.
Yeah,
by the way.
It's
kind of nice.
Volcano.
That is the state of Washington after the election. All right, so the next question here. What is the best way to report software bugs to Microsoft? For example, how to report the fact that the RSS feeds do not render in IE10 Windows 8 if allow active content to run in files on my computer and internet options advanced security is checked?
Again, the MSDN forums.
And send more details on how to repro this.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, next question, number 5. Suppose I've joined a LAN where there is a network printer that advertises itself over the network. Windows 8 dutifully places it in the devices and printers even though I've never attempted to access the device. Later I join a different network, I see the network printer listed. Same thing applies to any devices that have media sharing enabled. There used to be an option to disable automatic search for printers and folders, but I can't seem to find it in Windows 8.
Okay, so... read me off the steps that
control
I put
panel.
In. Yes, control panel.
Network and internet.
Network and internet.
Network and sharing center.
Network and sharing center.
Advanced sharing options.
Turn off network discovery.
Yep. That will take care of you right there.
Yep. And you can do it based on different profiles. So if you only want to do it on your public profile or private profile, you can separate that out.
Excellent. All right. So what are we up to? Question six. Is there ever any need to use the tips from an MSDN link here on a home desktop laptop PC? I'm particularly curious about the critical delayed worker threads increase. And the MSDN link, it's EE377058. I'll link to it in the show notes.
Yeah, that's a TechNet article, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked at that article. It was really designed for specific server workloads.
Yeah.
There is...
And the title of it is Registry Settings That Can Be Modified to Improve Operating System Performance.
Right. It should also read, and can be used to completely harm your system in weird and wonderful ways.
Yeah. I guess that it's a long title they left off.
It's a long title, okay. Yeah. For those articles, you know, they were usually published to handle a very particular set of scenarios that a customer had, but we needed to document those registry keys in order for others to potentially use it. But we don't obviously set those defaults in most cases because they're not actually useful.
Yeah.
So no, that's for server workloads, not for a desktop. It's really not going to help you.
Yeah, and people probably see improve operating system performance.
Right.
That's me. I want that. So... yeah, there you go. It's typically for server scenarios. All right, last but not least, number seven, I've upgraded from Windows Vista to Windows 8. The difference in responsiveness in favor of Windows 8 is simply astounding. Same services application set. Battery life is also better. How? Why? I mean, it's great, but it leaves a pounding question regarding what went wrong in Vista in that department. It's is it okay to say after 6 years?
As with most things, right? Over time, you learn new tips, techniques.
Yeah, let me give you an example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox 360, when it came out. Look at the first games that came out on Xbox 360.
Absolutely.
Look at the games that came out this week. I mean, it's a huge difference in what you learn
hardware.
And how you adapt and how you learn tricks to utilize things that were always there, but it takes time to figure those things out.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the things. The other thing is the amount of work that went into Windows 8 was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can go through and read the old Building Windows 8 blogs to get an idea of what those things were. Very long descriptions that we don't even have to get into because they're all documented on the Building Windows 8 blog. But, yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've had numerous teams look at the performance characteristics of Windows and, you know, added refinements, new algorithms, you know, just new code, and old code. Some old code got removed, you know, things that weren't actually necessary anymore. That were potentially hindering the OS, but was beneficial 6 years ago.
Yeah,
you know, and it's no longer needed now. So, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons why, but the biggest reason is we made a concerted effort.
Yeah, and the other thing too is, you know, people hit I want to make this better by submitting, you know, the errors that they have and stuff like that. So keep that in mind. I mean, it's not collecting a bunch of personal information there, any personal information that I know of. But it helps make everything better because we can use that telemetry to figure out what are causing problems and things on different systems. So definitely try to send that stuff in if you can. So that's a little bit there. I'd refer you to the Building Windows 8 blog, though. Next question from Kevin. Great show. You guys rock. Love to hear that. Is there a way to get a VHD to automatically mount when my machine reboots? I'm the only user on the machine that it matters for, so having it mount at login is fine, but I've not been able to figure it out. Currently, I'm Windows 7 Enterprise, but I expect to be upgrading to Windows 8 soon. Hopefully, any solution would work on both operating systems.
Yes, and this solution will work on both operating systems. Simple PowerShell script. Throw this as a CMD file in the directory where your VHD resides. And call it with a command of PowerShell, and then, you know, whatever you want to name this particular function.
Yeah.
It's really simple. You know, it's all it's doing is going to call disk part with a command file. The nice trick about this one is that it'll work with multiple VHDs, not just one. So if you have a bunch of VHDs sitting in a directory, just throw the script at it. It'll auto-mount all of them at boot, you know, one to many.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. From Jonathan, let's see, he says, hey guys, love the show. First, I really like Windows 8. It's really robust and I'm really impressed with how things have been polished off. However, there doesn't seem to be any Flip 3D feature anymore. How come? Is there a way to get it back? I wouldn't care. I think I may be the only one to actually like that feature. I don't know about that. But when it came out, I went out of my way to find a store that could sell me a Microsoft Digital Media Keyboard 3000 because it came with a special Flip 3D button, and now that does nothing. So go, Flip 3D, Windows 8.
Yeah, it was one of those features that, from telemetry, found very, very, very few people ever used it.
Yeah.
It's basically because Alt-Tab has been around significantly longer.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously still there.
Yeah, I would have liked, better than that, I would have liked an option that either toggles between the Alt-Tab or the Flip 3D so that you can just keep using Alt-Tab, because I think people either didn't know it was there or they, you know, didn't know the keyboard shortcut.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it was one of those things where it was a lot of code, a lot of system resources to enable Flip 3D that very few people ever used.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, well, the new paradigm with Windows 8 between the desktop and the new Windows Store experience just kind of made it that Flip 3D did not make as much sense to keep in the product.
Yeah, and I was watching it this morning. You're loving the swipe in from the left.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah,
so.
I like that. Far, yeah. Far more.
Okay, so I guess it's going to be up to you, Stardock, if you really think Flip 3D is that important. All right, from Charles, great show. I have a question for you, although a question on a rather ancient system, so I don't know how relevant it is to the show. It's sad to say, but I'm using Windows XP 32-bit at work, and I do not work in the back of a pawn shop at one of the largest international banks, because Windows XP 32-bit is only for pawn shops now. This means that I only have 3.5 gig of RAM available, probably after 500 meg got eaten by device drivers, etc., which I obviously exceed regularly. I checked in the size of the page file, which is 4 gig. My question, when I reach about 4 gig of memory usage, how come everything starts to fail? New windows fail to be open, contextual messages or contextual menus don't even show up anymore. Some windows of Explorer don't completely render. Surely the system would be thrashing and everything should become really slow, but I wouldn't see failures until I'm much closer to 7.5 gigabyte usage, not 4 gig.
So in this particular case, it's not even so much your page file usage or your RAM. It's actually something called your desktop heap, which is the first trigger when UI elements don't start rendering properly. There's a KB article.
Yeah, it's KB126962.
That will, you can try tweaking it to increase your desktop heap. In certain situations, certain applications just eat a lot of desktop heap. You can, you know, shut down certain unneeded applications. But, you know, this will eke out a little bit extra life out of your machine. Just don't go overboard. There's some in that article. There's some recommended settings if you're going to increase it. Don't go beyond that because you can make your system even further unstable.
Excellent. All right. From Vishak, and I apologize for anyone who doesn't have a very simple name because I will destroy it. I'm running my Sony Vaio laptop SVE-1511-8FN on Windows Home Premium. Didn't say which.
I'm thinking
Windows
7.
Yeah. All right. So the problem is
we don't
slow.
Have a Windows 8 Home Premium.
Yeah, that's true. The problem is slow startup times. It takes about 5 minutes or more before I can open anything on the desktop. I want to know about boot performance diagnostics and how can I enable this on my laptop using Registry Editor. What does it actually do, and why is the Group Policy Editor not available in Windows 7 Home Premium? Well, there you have it. Windows 7 Home Premium.
So I put a link in there for our standard.
Yeah, it's technet.microsoft.com magazine, DD302384.aspx, which we'll link to, of course, in the show notes.
Yeah, and that's our, you know, standard boot time performance tracing with PerfTrack and PerfMon. All the perf tools for Windows right there. Now, as to why there's no Group Policy Editor in Windows Home, well, there's no domain join in Windows Home Premium. That's where Group Policy is used primarily. We don't have it because you're not supposed to be editing any Group Policies in Home. It's not there.
All right.
Well, too bad, so sad.
Yeah, there you have it. All right, from Yerel Nezra, which is weird because that's my full name spelled backwards. But anyway, he says, how safe is it to install a random font found on the web? Is it possible that a TTF can have a virus? Thanks, I love your show. Gove is the best. That hurts. And this one was sent at like 4 in the morning. So
installing random font files is something that I would definitely never recommend doing.
Yeah.
However, there's a caveat to that. It's kind of how they're packaged that I would look out for. Font files are packaged in exes. I would essentially stay away from, because you really don't know what code is going to be run.
Yeah.
Font files packaged in a zip file, where it's a true type font embedded inside and not an executable.
Yeah.
I would trust those just a little bit more. Remember, what you're doing is installing something that is available for the entire system. It's used in kernel mode. Generally speaking, the worst that can happen is that you'll bug check your machine.
Yeah.
That really is the worst possible thing that can happen. And from there, you can just do, you know, restore point, getting yourself back. The other thing to remember is that you don't want to have a system that has far too many fonts installed, because that actually does take up resident memory.
So that was going to be my next question.
Mm-hmm. Of course. That was your next question, or was that the...
No, that was his next question, because... I would suspect that this person with the incredibly strange name has, like, lots of fonts installed, because they love fonts. They love typography.
Yep.
How many is too many?
That's a really, really...
On, like, a machine like, say, this machine right
it,
here.
It's a really tough question. You know, I wouldn't even say that there is a strict upper bound.
Out.
No, because to be honest, I don't even know how many fonts are installed by default on the system.
Yeah.
You know, from there, you'd be able to.
And there's
a huge
difference in size of fonts, of course. There might
Absolutely.
Be really small ones or really large ones.
Yes. So, like, when you install something like Office, for example, it installs a huge number of fonts on top of that. If you install Adobe Photoshop or Adobe Acrobat, probably is more more accurate, that will install a bunch of font files.
Yeah.
Usually those setups will actually give you the options of what fonts to install. Over time, again, you might find your system as being, you know, slightly sluggish, and font files are one of those things that people kind of forget about.
Yeah. And when you're troubleshooting, I don't think, you know, looking at, oh, maybe I have too many fonts installed is one of the steps that you really go through.
Exactly.
But I've been there where I had, or I'm sure this person anyway, has been there where they had a lot of fonts installed. And
I like to group, you know, my fonts into, you know, how often I use them. And, you know, basically uninstall things that I know I will never use.
Yeah.
Of course, not uninstalling any system fonts, but, you know, keeping fonts in a directory that you know you have infrequent access to, then you can install and uninstall them at will.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a method of handling it.
I got a few sets. I have a font directory where I keep all my fonts that I tend to install after restore. But then I have like a subdirectory with the like underscore my favorite fonts, and it's got like these are the ones I put on every machine. There's some Font Bureau typefaces that I just really love and I'm used to using. So if I go to like lay out some print thing, I know how they work and what they look like, and I can select from them quickly. So I'll always throw those on.
You know, what'd be interesting is should hook you up with our font folks, because if there's some, you know, really critical fonts that a lot of people are installing all the time, might make sense to bring it in either into the core OS or maybe let Office pick it up as one of their fonts. So at least at that point, it becomes far more available to a wide number of users.
Yeah, Geraldine Wade, who got married, and I can't remember her new last name, but loved talking to her. I did an interview with her on Gabriola when Vista came out, and some of the adaptive display layouts that that's used for, which are really interesting. I mean, go back and watch that. It's interesting how that font works. And Simon Daniels, another one at Microsoft who's great with fonts and just a genius. Love talking to them. So, yeah, have to get them on sometime. All right, next question, last question from Robert. He says, I teach a high school computer science class in the mornings, and the only kid who was techie, spelled two different ways, enough to jump on Windows 8 right away, said that the audio doesn't play from his music and video Windows 8 store apps. Although audio plays from the rest of the programs on his machine, closest internet hit I saw on this thread with no solution. Is this a common problem that you know a solution to? Can I report back to him? Otherwise, I'll have to email Defrag Show for some back and forth. I want to keep him excited about Windows 8 and Microsoft. Well, thank you for that, but...
Right now, the only thing I can possibly think of is if you're running unsigned drivers, unsigned audio drivers.
Yeah.
The store apps might not load them. But I would have to get a lot more information as
to back and forth. We'll back and forth this one
And
figure that out and let people know what we find out. All right, so pick of the week time. The pick of the week this week.
We've been waiting for it for a while, at least I've been waiting for it for a while. The Windows 8 Nook app.
Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome.
So, Barnes & Noble, this is out in the store now. You can get it. It's very nice looking, very cool.
Mm-hmm. It's nice and simple. Like, they kind of went back to a much cleaner interface.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have been saying that it brings a level of consistency across, I think, their paperweight device or their one of their other devices.
I don't know what that is, but...
One interesting thing that I wanted to tell you, this kind of goes back to our font conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The arrow key that is in the upper left corner.
Yeah.
That's actually a font. That's actually a character. It's not
nice.
A bitmap.
Cool.
Some of the things that we did in Windows 8 was a lot of the glyphs that we use aren't actually bitmaps. They're fonts, so they can be resized a lot easier
than
bitmaps.
Very cool. Yeah, and I believe this is the app that Charles helped out with. So very proud of Charles Torrey and can't wait to start using this. Awesome. I've been heads down all week, but this is going to be the first thing I install when I get back to my desk. Very nice. And that is the show for this week. So if you have questions, you can send them to defragshow@microsoft.com. You can leave messages in the comments that we can get back to. But we love the email, especially in the middle of the night, so Gove can go back and forth while I just laugh and stare at my phone in the middle of the night. So see you next week, or the week after.
Happy Thanksgiving.